Welcome to The Startup Show. I'm your host, John Biggs. In every episode of The Startup Show, we talk to an amazing entrepreneur about how they do what they do. We'll explore tactics, tricks, and techniques for building some of the coolest things on the planet. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Welcome back to The Startup Show. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Philippe Noel. He's the CEO and founder of ParadeDB. This is going to get kind of dorky, Philippe, but welcome. I think everybody needs a nice lesson in what ParadeDB does and why it's important.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, tell me what you're up to.
We were building a competitor to Elasticsearch, so we are building a database product, mm-hmm. which is used by the people that make software that you use on the daily. If you imagine you're going on Facebook and you want to search for someone's name to send them a friend request, well, you need to store information so that it can be searchable in some sort of database when you're building a software product. We build one such database.
Okay, so very specifically, if I have a search function on my app or I have a search function on my website, you guys are building a different version of that. And is there already there's already an open source version of something like that, right? Am I right about that?
We're building the database that allows you to build that search function on your app or website. Mm-hmm. So okay. The sort of the behind the scenes of what the user might use. And there's many options that exist out there. We're building a more modern version of a pretty popular open source project called Elasticsearch, mm-hmm. which by now it's a good tool, but it's starting to show its age.
So it's Elasticsearch is basically you could embed Elasticsearch into your product now.
Sure.
And it would work fine. But what you guys are saying is that this thing that you're going to sell is going to be better than that tool.
That's right. That's the hope. At least perhaps not in all cases, but in many mm-hmm. cases nowadays. We focus specifically on the market of companies that use Postgres. Postgres is a pretty popular database framework, and we give much, much higher quality integration and experience for companies that use Postgres and also want to do search.
Why did you want to solve this problem?
It's a problem we experience ourselves. We were previously building in the supply chain world, actually, and as part of the experience we were, as part of the product we were building, we needed to use both Elastic and Postgres, as I was mentioning, those two databases to build the application we wanted to build. And it's famously difficult to operate both at once. And we thought if we could actually sort of have these capabilities inside of the database framework we use inside Postgres, we would not need to use this 15-year-old cumbersome Elasticsearch tool. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of got us started in the space.
And Elasticsearch does the crawling for you too, right? Presumably, if you have like a website, it would crawl the website to find all the stuff for you.
You get when you use it, you decide what you want to index with it. Yeah, mm-hmm. but it does the indexing.
Oh, I guess you're right, because you're not actually indexing web pages; you'd index a database.
Yeah, you would index like a data set. So if you're if you're building Zocdoc, you might want to index the list of medical practitioners that you mm-hmm. that you want to be searchable for, right? Or if you index Facebook, it might be the post that people have made or the their name, so you can send a friend request or things like that.
Now you guys are doing a lot on you guys are replacing an open source product. What happens when you try to pitch that story to folks who say, well, I have this, it works fine, it's free?
Well, there's a few. First of all, we're also an open source product.
Right? Oh, okay.
So that's also part of it. But there's a couple of components. Nothing is free, really. Mm-hmm. Even when you use open source products, you need to run them on some servers in the cloud, right? And Elastic, for instance, is famously expensive and difficult to run. So it requires many machines, many servers in the cloud. You oftentimes also require many employees to be able to run them at scale. And so when you're operating this tool, you have two options. You can use the free option in that you don't pay money to the company making it, but you pay money in salaries and in server costs that you run yourself. Or Elastic will say, hey, pay us, and then we'll do all of that for you. Right. But either way, it's expensive because their tool is not fully efficient and so on. So it's quite expensive to orchestrate whether it's done by you or by them. We build a more modern version that is much lower footprint. So whether you run it yourself or you decide to pay us, it's going to cost you much less money. You're going to need less, attention from your employees on operating the tool, which is lower salaries or more attention spent on actually driving business for your company and so on.
Yeah, I just noticed that you could, it's basically just a Docker. I could just basically do a couple lines of code or a couple command lines and I'd be able to have it ready to go in theory.
Yeah, that's right.
But eventually there will be a situation where I'm like, hey, Philippe, can you fix this for me? Because I just messed the whole thing up.
There's hopefully there's not too many, but yes, we're there if you need anything. It's meant to be easy to use.
Okay. What inspired you to do this? You talked a little bit about that you had this problem before, but why, again, like there's a million things you could have solved and a million things you could have solved in a non-open source way too, I think. What inspired you to do it this way?
That's a good question. I mean, we're big fans of open source in general. Mm-hmm. The good thing with open source is you can almost think of it as a model where the wealthy enterprises subsidize the product for everybody else.
That's what we hope, right?
Exactly. And so the idea is, hey, like, you know, we wish we had access to this. Building open source is good in that you can easily share it with people. You can get feedback really quickly from sort of a selfish perspective. It helps us build the right thing for the right people faster. But also it means hopefully as we, you know, keep growing the company, we make money by selling the product to big enterprises that require support and complex features and so on. But we can keep the core of the product free forever for anyone, so that if you're on a weekend and you want to build a project, or you work at a startup or a nonprofit or a smaller organization and you have those needs, but you don't have the bandwidth to put money on it, you don't need to, right? And like, philosophically, that's a model that we really like and that we would try to support.
How do you raise investment for a project like this?
Same as any other product, really. Like, just because it's free for the, you know, the entry level of the market, it doesn't mean you can't make a lot of money. And Elastic, the company behind the original project, they're a public corporation today. They make over $1 billion in sales every year. So, you know, it's certainly possible to make a sustainable business, even though, you know, you try to give some of it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm worried about the VC who says, okay, well, you're just giving this away, but then you point to Elastic, or you point to everybody. You point to GitHub, you point to, there was another guy who just went public, I believe, in the Git space. So that stuff's works. Why?
It works, but it's not easy.
Yeah. Why do you personally like open source?
I mean, you know, there's a couple of things. One is, when you do open source, you don't need to constantly reinvent the wheel. And I think that's a big one, right? Especially if you look at software, the building blocks of software are very similar no matter what product you build, right? And when you take your non-competitive advantage, for example, and open source it, it allows other people for whom it's also not their competitive advantage to build on top of it. And then the ecosystem can progress much faster because people are constantly rebuilding behind closed doors the same product, right? Mm-hmm. To like modify it in like, you know, a small way for their own angle. So that's one. But the other one is, like, we're big, you know, we get a lot of benefits from open source ourselves. The database framework that we integrate with Postgres, it's been open source for 30 years. I couldn't do the work that I do today if it wasn't for them, right? And many of the other tools and libraries that we integrate to do our work wouldn't be possible without that. So it feels kind of natural for us to give back in a way, right? We're technically, our team is 4 people. And today we're servicing some very large companies actually already. But the number of engineers that have worked on the software that we actually distribute would be like hundreds probably if you counted all the open source people. So that gives you the, you know, an idea of like what actually a small team today gets to do thanks to the work of all the people in the open source. And hopefully we can also, you know, for the next generation be a building block for that. So someday maybe someone uses our service so that as a small team they can also offer a product to someone else.
This has been a question that's been on my mind for a while. I mean, I've noticed like kind of the weaponization of the nerd. Back in the olden days when you wanted like a NVIDIA driver for Linux or KDE or something like that, you had to write it yourself. And the reward you got from writing that code was somebody like, I don't know, said that's great on a listserv. And then you got 50 emails 2 weeks later that said, oh, your driver doesn't do this, and I'm upset because it doesn't work with this specific chipset, all that other stuff. So you kind of like, when you finished open source problem, you got more problems. I think over the past couple, let's say the last decade, a lot of the folks who might have been doing open source stuff have moved over to like crypto projects and all this other stuff that seems a lot more lucrative, that you could basically make $1 million in 15 seconds if you do the right Dogecoin or whatever. Have you noticed that, or is there still that magnanimous, that sense of community in the open source space that make people say, okay, I'm just going to keep building this cool stuff because I love to build cool stuff?
I don't think I've seen a difference. I mean, I'm I wasn't there 10 years ago in the space, so that's one. But the truth is, like, if you talk to people these days, the people that are trying to, you know, make a quick buck, they were there back then and they're still there today and they do whatever that they can. But the people that truly try to make open source and those that make a big difference, you know, they didn't care about it back then. They didn't care about it today. They're just focused on what they love making. And there are so many projects, like Postgres in our case, the list of people that actually commit to the core for the Postgres project, which is the, one of the most deployed databases in the world. Sure. I think it's like nine people, nine people distributed around the world who just love this. They're, you know, some of them are employed by big tech firms. Some of them are not. They just do it because they love it, right? And they take great, great pride in the craftsmanship that they put in their work. I think this is still the case today. Obviously, there's grifters. Obviously, crypto is an industry that attracted a lot of grifters. But for the most part, you know, the real deal people, they're still chugging along.
What does your exit look like if you ever exit?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. This is, might sound cheesy, but we're just trying to, you know, solve problems for a couple of people in the world and hopefully, you know, make enough in the process so that we live a good life and can afford an apartment and things like that. I don't know what our exit looks like. We're trying to, you know, bring the product to as many people as possible in a sustainable way. And I think when you do that, you also reap some rewards. Maybe one day we sell to a bigger company. Maybe one day we make it so big we go public. Who knows?
All right. Very cool. All right, so it's ParadeDB, right? So people should go check that out if you need a search system that's similar to Elasticsearch, right?
Yeah, that's right. ParadeDB.com, or they can find us on GitHub as well at GitHub/ParadeDB.
All right, Philippe, thank you for joining us. This has been pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having me. Sorry.
All right. This has been the Startup Show. I'm John Biggs. We'll see you next episode.